Host your holiday party at Apex Entertainment this year. Book early and save. Receive a $15 Apex gift card for each guest with holiday parties booked before October 1st. With flexible event space, attractions, and customizable menus, Apex is the perfect holiday party destination. For more information, contact the sales team or go to apexentertainment.com.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's hour number three of the program. It's coming up on 4:03 in the afternoon, and the big boy's still with us. We did a 3-5 stint with Bedard today. We wanted to open up with just Red Sox, so we moved him back, but we're still mixing in our Red Sox talk with our Patriots talk here. On Felger and Maz, Greg, once again, is brought to you by the Granite Group. Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Again, mixing the two topics back and forth, we go back to your phones. Guy in Boston, Greg's good buddy Guy in Boston is up next.
Guy.
I want to ask you a question. When they played the Dolphins in the first game, every Patriot Bobo was going, oh, how unlucky we are. How did they feel against Houston? And what about Mac? He told me he should have had 4 interceptions. Thank you.
Okay, I don't know what your point was there exactly, but
I think you care to respond. I think Guy was up very late watching the Red Sox last night. That wasn't his usual sharp call. Look, the Patriots, they've earned where they are, and they have to get out of it. Now, you know, what's interesting is that now that Kansas City is basically in a free fall and they are awful on defense,
they're one game out of the wild card. I just want to go to the finish line. If they win this week and there's a loss or two across
the board. You're talking about the Patriots now.
The Patriots will be the third wild card team. It could be as soon as this week. They are one game out of the wild card. Okay, all the wild cards are 3-2. And I think there's 3 of them out of them. So they're one game out of the wild card. They're not out of it.
No, but not by a long shot. No, definitely not.
I mean, because right now, what is it? Even Tennessee is 3-2. But I mean, Cincinnati, Denver, Vegas, you know, Cleveland's good. Pittsburgh's terrible. Kansas City will come up. But yeah, the Patriots are not out of it. This is not going to, it doesn't look like it's going to be like last year. I think it was 11-5 made the playoffs. That does not look to be the case.
So. That's the good news. The bad news is if you're 5-12, it's not going to matter. And I don't know which way it's going to go. And I think they're teetering. I think they're fragile. They go back to where we started with Belichick being in such a flowery mood after that game, giving him a victory Monday already after that crap-ass game in Houston. I think he knows they need the positive reinforcement. They need to add a boy, and he knows they're teetering. And like, if they had lost that game, the season's over.
I mean, that line, we needed 60 minutes. We got 30. That's as un-Belichick as it gets.
Seriously. Hey, that a boy, you gave me 30. Yeah. I asked for 60, you gave me 30. Monday off.
Day off! Yeah.
I mean, that's really what that was.
Thanks for half-assing it, guys.
Holy crap.
Yeah, seriously.
Nick in New Bedford on the Sox. Go ahead, Nick.
Yes, sir. I have one question. And first of all, I'm a longtime listener. It's great to talk to you guys. What do you guys think about that? Well, let me just ask you, put this in 2 questions. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that the Red Sox can make it to the World Series and win? And 2, because of that sacrifice Kiki Hernandez made, do you think they're a World Series team?
The Kiki Hernandez sacrifice fly. I like the Arroyo sacrifice bunt, but I don't think that either of those things make them a World Series team. Does anything make them a World Series team, Maz?
I mean, look, they can get there. Would I bet on them? No. I mean, I'm not going to change my mind on that part of it. I think when you get to this stage, you're running into buzzsaws. So Houston's good. I think Houston's better than the White Sox. I think whoever coming out of the National League, I'm assuming it's going to be the Dodgers or the Giants, one of those two teams, they're good. So, you're going to hit some teams that are way closer to perfect than you are. But I thought they were going to lose this round. I thought they were going to lose to the Yankees. So they're defying logic right now.
And your logic. They're defying your logic.
Yes,
does that
correct.
Mean they're defying logic?
A little bit.
I see. I'm sorry. So this is starting to bug me a little bit. Like the no one thought they could do it. That's bull crap. If you ask anyone around here in July, could they be in this spot? Everyone would say, yeah, they have the best record in the American League. Mm-hmm. They're going to be right here. So just because they dipped in August, September, and it got a little wonky there, people sort of lost faith. But it really depends when you ask the question. If you ask the question at any point in the first half of the year, do you expect them to be here? Everyone would say, yeah.
Didn't Cora say it at some point in like mid-July?
So this gets stupid. It's just so trite and, oh, no one thought we could be here. You know, like, oh, God, that's so boring. Like, come up with something new. And, like, and that's not just the Red Sox. It's everybody. Oh, no one thought we could do it. Shut up.
Yeah, but
people asking questions all over the place. I mean, of course, people. Microphones.
But no, but it's like in July, everyone thought you could be. You have the sixth highest payroll in baseball. There should be nothing that says, how do you think we could ever be here? You have the sixth highest payroll in baseball. Payroll usually comes through at the end of the day in baseball. It really, so like, this is all a way of saying they have just as good a chance as anyone, I think.
Yeah, so look, my complaint coming into the year was I didn't think their pitching was going to hold up, and I don't think their pitching is good enough. My opinion on that has not changed. So look, again, they've gotten this far. Cora sort of managed his way around some landmines. They still have concerns about the pitching staff. If you want an honest assessment, that's what I'm giving you. So am I shocked that they're here? I'm not shocked that they beat Tampa Bay, but I still think it's going to take a lot to win the World Series. Again, that's just my opinion. I've been wrong twice already. I might be wrong three times or four times.
In that way, it almost goes along with what I was going to say, which it's starting to feel like 13 and 18 again. And, you know, I know Maz, among others, were you know, late believing in those teams.
Hell yeah.
As well, but, which, you know, happens, not a big deal. But here's, I know, neither do I. You know, it's just their lineup is so good with professional hitters. I mean, they had seven guys like well over 800 OPS in this last series against a staff that could throw the ball. And then, you know, advancing here, to me, so I don't worry about the lineup. Like Maz, I worry about the pitching. The bullpen is a big concern of mine, but I think, in my opinion, because this now goes from a five-game series to a seven-game series, I think that Chris Sale is now on the spot in this series. He has to be a real pitcher, you know, give them real innings for them to have a chance and not completely kill their thin bullpen.
We've got Ari and Newton with a Mac Jones thought for us. Go ahead, Ari.
Hey, so we suck. I mean, it took field goals to beat Nick. It took field goals to beat the Texans and the Jets. It's coming down to the point now. If God forbid Nick Folk sprains his left pinky toe, we're pretty much screwed. How do we stand a chance at competing with Dallas, the Chargers, if you have to kick four field goals against the Jets and lose to the Texans?
So the Jets, they won by 16 or whatever. So I don't know what you're talking about, field goals to beat the Jets. But the answer is, if you play the way you've played so far, you're going nowhere. And you are going to be 5-12. If you don't get better, you're going to be 5-12. Something like that.
Exactly.
So the whole point is, are they capable of more? Are they capable of playing better? Until they show me that they're not, I'm going to say that's that. I mean, no one gave them a shot going into the Tampa game, and they played a lot better than they had played the week before, and they made that a game. So it's the same thing this week, that they just have to rebound and show some growth and play better than they played last week, which I still think they're capable of.
Exactly. I mean, they have to improve over the course of the season, and, you know, all we can do is go on history. And yes, number 12 is not here anymore, and he probably had a large part to do with it. We'll get further evidence of how much he had to do with it this season. We saw it last year. But in the past, the Patriots have improved as a team over the course of the season. They get an extra game. It's now 17 games to improve, and I largely believe in that coaching staff that they're going to do it. I do think that there's enough talent on this team to do it. They're going to need to be coached up to sort of shorten the talent deficit. But we've seen it before. I mean, that slop that they went to the Super Bowl with in 2011 on defense was an incredible coaching accomplishment. And look, how do they compete with the Cowboys? It's Mike McCarthy versus Bill Belichick. Now, McCarthy has beaten Belichick once at Lambeau. He came here. He almost beat Belichick with Matt Flynn at quarterback a long time ago. So you're banking on Belichick being Belichick and the Cowboys being the Cowboys and imploding.
Okay, so as you mentioned the coaching, can we just jump back to something for 1 second here?
Quickly.
All right, that you said that on the offensive line, they believe internally that the issue is the players on the O-line. How can it be the whole line? In other words, you want to tell me a guy here or a guy there wasn't ready? Fine. But when it's the whole line that sucks, doesn't that tell you that some sort of message isn't getting through?
It could. I mean, you know, I'm just going after, you know, what I found out.
Sure.
Or what, you know, the information that I have. And I know there are some guys on that offensive line that either weren't at any of the offseason, were hit and miss, or were hindered by injury and couldn't really do much in the offseason. And you put all that together and, you know, it hasn't worked. Now, Owenu, that could just be a position change. Maybe he's not a guard. I mean, we saw it, you know, years ago. Who was it? Oh, Marcus Cannon. Remember, Marcus Cannon at first looked like a disaster at, I think they tried at guard first. The game is a lot quicker inside than it is at tackle. I mean, I've had conversations with O-line coaches and they're like, you know, anybody can play tackle. Like, it's like, all right, see that guy, block him. Whereas at guard, things move a lot faster. Now, I haven't seen him struggle mightily yet to the point where I would be like, all right, they need to move him to right. They need to move Trent Brown to left. They need to move Karras.
I implore you.
No more O-line talk?
Don't prompt him on the O-line again, please.
All right, sorry.
It's enough. I can't. The Sox are in the playoffs. You got the Dallas Cowboys. I can't talk about Owenu on the left or the right side, please. We have to do that. Let's do 10 questions right after this. Thank you.
In my opinion, he's a tackle.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Terps Cannabis Dispensary, Cape Cod's destination dispensary, is now open right on Route 6 in Wellfleet. Terps is a boutique-style dispensary that is completely focused on educating their customers on all things cannabis. Check out Terps' unique environment and let their friendly local staff guide you on your cannabis journey. Terps provides its customers with distinguished brands of flower, cannabis-infused products, and extracts with a great selection of glass and accessories. Terps is now open on Route 6 in Wellfleet and coming soon to Attleboro and Charlton. Learn more at Terps.com and follow them on Instagram at TerpsCanna.
Responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR283325.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry liar. 98.5. Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub. You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, 10 questions, 10 minutes with the big boy around the league. We need buzzer options to stay on time. Jimmy, what do we got?
So this is going to be a quote-unquote best of name flubs.
Love it. I'm sorry, best of what?
Name flubs.
Name flubs, okay.
Oh, all right.
Guarapalo.
Very good.
If Scarletti isn't drinking.
Scarnecchia, I think that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I think so, too.
What the hell is that?
Oh. Mike Nikovich.
Not quite.
Ben Attendison.
Wow.
Juan Moncada.
Johan Moncada.
Okay, keep going.
Rusty Castillo.
Oh, my God. Rusty Castillo.
Rusty.
quickly, about Dan Pease.
Dan Pease or Dean, okay.
Umawana Nui.
Who? Who, man? Oh, Manawa Nui.
I butchered that one.
Yeah, this is the kicker.
Patriots have traded tight end Michael Humanawanawi.
Panic in his voice. Hit it, Jimmy.
Patriots have traded tight end Michael Humanawanawi.
Number 10, did John Gruden get what he deserved, Greg? Or given that those were private emails sent 10 years ago, did he deserve a different fate?
Yes, he got what he deserved. I mean, when they came out, you can't survive that. Not as a, I was going to say a coach, a leader of men, or just as a human. You really can't survive that. Now, my question is, how is that How is it legal for him to get? Now, I guess he resigned, but like this was before he was even coach. He wasn't a member of the National Football League when it happened. Like, I don't know. I don't know any of that stuff. I just find the whole situation ridiculous that Roger Goodell and the NFL have all these emails or all this information, 600,000 emails from people around the NFL, and the only leaks have been about John Gruden and about what he said about Demoris Smith, and now these terrible emails that were leaked. It's just, to me, it's unbelievable.
Can I say both? Is that allowed?
Like, say whatever you want.
Like, if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna put it out there that those are your beliefs and thoughts, that's gonna come back to bite you in the ass. Okay, so like, but the other thing is, to Greg's point, is everything in our private lives or whatever we say privately or we presume to be private, and I don't know if emails qualify, but like, is nothing sacred anymore?
There's a slippery slope in there somewhere, isn't
there? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's all my point is.
Yeah, in today's world, this stuff comes out, you're done. But like Greg, I want to know what it was that caused the NFL to start leaking these emails, because that's what's happening. But I personally think Goodell saw them, saw that some of them were about him, and he was like, oh, that's what he thinks about me? F him. Bury him.
Okay, which, again, Greg said this to me off the air, may explain why Bill Belichick is lifting Roger Goodell off the ground after the Super Bowl several years ago, because he knows. He knows. Smart man, Bill Belichick. Next.
Quickly, about Dan Pease.
Number 9, who should be the next full-time coach of the Oakland Raiders? Give me a good Raiders coach.
Lane Kiffin. I want the return of Lane Kiffin.
Oh, my God. Full disaster.
Oh, God, please, that'd be awful. Sean McVay. I think Sean McVay would be good with the Raiders. Like, you know, just let him take his hack there. It's better than the Rams. I'd McVay. Give me McVay.
Josh McDaniels. I think that would be a perfect spot.
But I would not take that job. I mean, you got Mahomes and Justin Herbert in that division, and you have Carr. Now, forget that.
Next.
Rusty Concio.
Okay. Greg, this is for you.
Oh.
Do you still believe that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills suck?
First of all, none of that is true. Okay. Last year I said that Josh Allen is now in the good category. Whether I advance him beyond that, we will see at the end of the year. There's no question. I have always thought he's immensely talented. There's no question about that. I have a serious problem with him. I don't think he makes championship winning plays. I don't know whether he's capable of winning a championship because he melts down. I know you didn't see the game the other night.
I did not.
The Bills get the ball in field goal territory, and what does this moron do? He drops back like 40 yards and takes an intentional grounding penalty, and they have to punt on third down. He nearly blew the game again, throwing an interception, but the NFL stepped in and called roughing the passer on a tackle where he got hit in the stomach. And so he does this all the time. It's why they crapped the bed last year. It's why the defense carried them last year.
I answer the question for him? Yes, he still sucks.
The Bills are a good team over. They're excellent. They're probably the best team in the AFC right now.
But you're not budging. Okay, takes a lot to budge the big boy.
On Josh Allen, I said, we'll see after the season.
You're not budging at all. No budging.
Nope, not during the season. Okay. Nope.
All right, fine. You've answered the question. Next.
Garoppolo.
Okay, speaking of sucking, why do NFL kickers... NFL field goal kickers suck so bad?
Because they're weak-minded and they're pampered all the time and they can't take it when it gets tough.
You see this canister of Clorox wipes right here? You see this, right? This thing has more mental toughness than your typical NFL kicker. That's why.
I think it's a reflection on modern-day society. It's millennials or Gen Xers or whatever you are, you know, out there, the young kids.
How about your guy? He's been around since 07. Mason Crosby missing 3 or 4 kicks, whatever
he does that occasionally.
He does, man.
He does.
He goes hot and cold, but he goes cold. It's a freaking disaster.
Yeah, seriously. He's had this before.
No, the answer is because they're like me with a 45-yard chip shot. They're mental patients.
Mental patients. It is unseemly.
It is.
How weak these freaking ninny kickers are.
What did Derek Lowe call them? Mental gidgets?
Yeah, he would call himself a mental gidget.
Oh, yeah.
That's, right. That's what they are. Mental cases. Next.
Mike Ninkovich.
I've even forgotten his name now.
Rob
Ninkovich, number 6. Are the Chiefs done?
No, but they're a bad team right now, and they are horrible on defense. I mean, awful. And Mahomes is not healthy. He's not the same.
No, they're not done, but they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. I'll tell you that right now.
No, given that quarterback in the offense, would you want to play them in the playoffs? Until they're done, they're not done.
Why aren't they winning the Super Bowl this year, Mass?
Defense isn't good enough, and I believe in that Super Bowl hangover thing. I think it's real.
Next.
Ben Attenderson.
Okay, here begins our Dallas Cowboys line of questioning with the tool bag question. Who's the biggest tool bag Dallas Cowboy of all time?
Jerry.
Ooh, good one.
He just is. I mean, he's always in the news. He, and, you know, Murray's impersonation is almost spot on to the real life person.
That's right.
Maz? I mean, it's a long list. I went with Hollywood Henderson, linebacker from the 70s. He was a huge, massive freaking tool bag. I'll give you one more. Randy White, defensive line.
Oh, yeah? You thought it was
the manster. I'm the manster. Half man, half monster.
I will go with
loser.
Abusive dirtbag Greg Hardy.
As the one
of the worst Cowboys of all time. I'll go Barry Switzer on that one. Next.
Quickly, about Dan Pease.
Okay, or Dean. Who's your favorite Cowboy of all time, Greg?
Anybody have any guesses on who I'm going to pick?
Staubach.
No, no, no. It's got to be
Leon Lett or someone
right.
Like that.
No. Offensive lineman, Adams.
The left tackle. The left tackle they had there when they were really good. Or Nate Newton.
That's who I meant. Nate Newton is who I meant.
Larry Allen.
Yeah, all right.
So
Larry
good.
Allen. That's so I was in there. Like that's who I'm.
So
one of those guys.
So strong.
Offensive lineman.
When I was a kid, I loved Dorsett. Loved him. But I also loved Dion. Dion was awesome.
I'll go with Darren Woodson. I thought he was like mid-90s Tyrone Mathieu. I love Darren Woodson.
Roger the Dodger Staubach, one of the great underrated quarterbacks, in my opinion, of all time. One of the great all-time winners in NFL history. Doesn't get quite the yank that I think he should. Next.
Patriots have traded tight end Michael Humanawanawi.
Okay, I love the question mark at the end of that. You've kind of answered this already, Greg, but I don't know. Maybe it's a different spin on it. Is Jerry Jones good or bad for the NFL?
He's good for fellow owners and the business of the NFL. He's bad for fans of the NFL, the NFL in general, just because he's too greedy. All he is about the bottom line. He doesn't care about the game, even though he was a player and came up as a player. He doesn't care about any of that. All he cares about is dollar bills, and that's never good for the on-field product.
Good for the league. Good for the league. And even if it's in an ass-backwards kind of way. Huge personality, has the most important franchise in the league, an ego to go along with it, but I think it's good for the league at the end of the day.
Good, because if you want your billion-dollar business to run as smoothly as possible, you're going to need some slime and evil pulling some of them strings. And Jerry Jones is just the cold-hearted, greedy ghoul for that job. You need someone silenced? Who's going to do it in the league? Jerry Jones is.
So he's good for the league because you need good guys and bad guys and villains and lightning rods and that. So he fills that role for the rest of us. But Greg's right. He's bad for Cowboy fans. And the sneaky thing about Jerry Jones is he is a cheap SOB with his payroll. They had one of the lowest payrolls in the league, cash payrolls. I'm not about, cap, the actual cash spent towards the bottom of the league in the previous CBA, the 10-year sample, where you finish 15th and I get on the Patriots for only being 15th in cash spent in the last CBA, which is too low. Dallas was down there in the low 20s to 30. I think they might have been last or close to last. And it's like Jerry Jones has this reputation of spending like Dan Snyder and spending irresponsibly. Ooh, just the opposite. Just the opposite. Cheap. And so he is bad. He is the team's GM, and he doesn't spend. So he's bad for Dallas Cowboy fans. Number two, next.
Humawana Nui.
Greg, do you like the Cowboys? Or as a kid, when we all had to be either Cowboy or Steeler fans, remember? Or even if you want to develop into the 90s where it became the Niners or the Redskins, did you like the Dallas Cowboys as a kid? Do you like what they stand for, America's team, that thing?
Nope. Not even close. While I grew up a Dolphins fan, the national team that I gravitated towards was the Niners. I just thought they were so cool. That gold helmet, Joe Montana, Bill Walsh just looked cool on the sideline in his sweater and his slacks. Like, I just love the Niners.
Yeah, no one Dallas, and I was a huge Joe Montana guy. Huge. The Patriots suck so bad, I had to pick someone else.
Same with these guys. I hated them. Their dominance in the 90s was annoying, and I liked the Niners and watching Montana. He was great.
I didn't mind him in the 80s. I didn't mind him in the 90s. That 90s team, one of my least favorite teams in the history of pro sports. What underachievers. The talent on that team, they should have won 5. That should have been a true dynasty. Instead, it was three titles, 4 years, all blowing their brains out. I'm literally, like, oh, God, I know you all flash, no substance, no longevity. It's just slap it out there with a bunch of talent, win a couple, and then just blow your brains out. No use for that team. Oh, I hated that 90s Cowboys team. Hated. Next.
Ben Attendison.
Last one. If Dallas isn't America's team, who is or who should be? Who should be America's team?
Don't you know, Mike, that they're Packers? Oh, they should be the America's team, yeah.
They should be.
Should be Pittsburgh.
Publicly owned. Owned stadium.
A true team of the people, by the people, for the people. The Green Bay Packers are the answer.
Yeah.
No way. Pittsburgh Steelers, Steel Mills, America's Rust Belt, you know, right in the middle of the country, blue collar, should be Pittsburgh.
What's more American than Tom Brady? Wherever Tom Brady is, was the Patriots, now the Bucks. They're America's team.
If you Google most popular NFL teams, the team that comes up most consistently, and again, it's different metrics like Facebook pages, likes, there's some social media metrics that they use, or franchise value, or national ratings. The Patriots are almost always second on the list behind Dallas. Dallas is one, and New England's number two. Now, that's, I think, spillover from the Brady era. I don't know when that's going to run out, but the Patriots were there. You went until you pushed Brady out the door, you were the next team. You were the next most popular team in the league.
Yeah, Felgate's not going to run out because Newsom are going to start the Mac attack.
Something tells me it's not going to be quite the same. Anyway, thus concludes the 10 questions. Back to your calls after Murray's update.
Hey, Boston. Cannabis delivery is here from LanternNow.com. Getting cannabis in Boston has always been a hassle, but Lantern has changed the game. I can now get my cannabis discreetly delivered right to my door the same day I place my order. Lantern has made it super easy to find exactly the products that I want. I can browse multiple dispensaries at once and count on my order to be delivered same day. So whether I'm unwinding after work or going out for the night, Lantern is just what I'm looking for. So skip the rush hour traffic and get your cannabis delivered today by visiting LanternNow.com/Gym. That's LanternNow.com/gym.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Oh, no, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, right back to your phones. As promised, we got the big boy on a 3-5 stint today because of we wanted to spend a full hour on the Sox to lead off the show. And we're still talking Red Sox with Greg Bedard at 617-779-0985. To wit, Ryan in Middleborough on the Red Sox. What do you got, Ryan?
Hey, how's how you doing? So first of all, I want to talk about what you guys said before. I'm a Gen Zer, and the reason none of us can kick is because none of us have the mental fortitude to do it. We're all wimps. But on the Red Sox, I want everybody to talk about how unbelievably lucky the Red Sox have been. Game four on that ground rule double. Let's say hypothetically it doesn't happen. The Rays score at least one, maybe even two runs, and then maybe makes the home run null and void or a tie game. And, you know, what happens after that? Game five, that little dribbler right after the sacrifice bunt. If that's a routine play, the runner on second is checked. He throws to first. That's two outs. The eventual sacrifice fighter left. That's a routine fly ball. They go into the
Okay, well, let me stop you. I think the better team won the series. So I'm not going to sit here and say the Red Sox were, like, undeserving. I think they deserve to win the series. They caught a break there in game three.
Huge one.
Okay? The Renfro ground rule double thing was a big break. They took advantage of it. Last night was not a break. That was Tampa crapping on itself.
Mm-hmm.
You don't say the Red Sox. I mean, I guess you could say the Red Sox were fortunate that the Rays got all jittery at the end. But the fact is the Rays got all jittery at the end and blew the game. So you don't take credit away from you for doing that.
No, and in fact, I would say if you look at the games the Red Sox won in this series, you know what really happened? They got a big relief performance in all three of them. I mean, you know, Houck gave him a good one. I mean, I can't remember, maybe. No, Tanner Houck happened. That was game two.
Yep.
Nick Pivetta, game three, and Whitlock last night.
Yes, sir.
Those were all big relief spots, and they weren't one-inning outings. You know, wasn't this micromanage, bring a guy in, bring him out. Like, they just, you know, those guys were able to give multiple innings. Those were huge.
Well, one minor thing, because it's baseball and We love this kind of stuff. So I'm going back last night, you know, recapping the ninth inning for the Red Sox. How was that Travis Shaw hit ruled a single?
Oh, stupid joke.
Yeah, pathetic.
I mean, it's Travis Shaw running.
Oh, correct. My God.
That's a routine NFL, Major League Baseball play for a third baseman.
I agree. Yes, you'd have gotten down the line faster.
Seriously?
Totally. So you could say they got lucky. I just say that they were steadier at the end of these games than the Rays were and took advantage of the mistakes.
Those throwing errors, and I'm counting Franco's in the inning before, yep. Those were lazy throws.
Horrible.
Lazy throws.
Dave in the car, what are your thoughts?
David? Sorry, this is Dave in the car.
Hi, Dave in the car.
I'm just calling to tell you to take your box of nails and shove it because the Red Sox are going to the ALCS. The pennant chase is on, baby. Let's freaking go, boys.
Yes, I've gotten many permutations of that, filling the timeline over the last, week. So, yes, I've shoved the nails where the sun doesn't shine sideways.
Yeah, shove them sideways, Murray. Yes. I want you to get cut.
You actually dumped them over your head earlier, did you not?
Yes, and for those that missed that, we may have that in the final word.
Okay. And we got to send out the video, too, because they caught it on the simulcast. Murray literally dumped the box of nails over his head.
Yeah, you can nice. Shove them sideways.
Yeah. Joe and Walpole, go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hey, guys. So this is a nitpick, right? But Kyle Schwarber, two games in a row, he's taken out defensively last night. Game before that, pinch ran by Dahlback, which is I don't understand that. His spot in the lineup's come in twice. I'll leave it to you guys.
Okay, last night they almost got caught in it because they take him out for a defensive purpose. So, like, riddle me this. Mm-hmm. Bobby Dahlback is now your defensive replacement?
Compared to Schwarber, yes.
I mean, that's scary.
It is scary, yeah. I'd put Shaw in there is what I would do.
So anyway. So they take out Schwarber for Dahlback as a defensive replacement. Then Tampa ties it. Now you need the bat, and you swap out Dahlback for freaking Fatso there, Travis Shaw.
Correct.
Well, I would not say came through, which should have been an error. It's a tapper down the left field line. Like, is that overthinking it there, Miss?
Yeah, probably. Again, he's just playing on the pinch hitting thing. He's playing straight left right. That's all he's doing. But in the game before, Dahlback's spot in the lineup came up after that. If you remember, he struck out on a ball down in the dirt. Yep. I mean, it was a bad at bat. So it's risky. Now, again, if you have a lead, let's face it, Schwarber is a freaking butcher over there. And as much as he's trying, as likable as he is, it's on them. It's not on him. He's dangerous over there. So I don't have a problem with them taking Schwarber out for defense when they have a lead.
I mean, look, the Dahlback thing, Dahlback is the lesser of two evils. Like, they're trying to split the baby there between defense and offense, I think, in most situations. And I think, you know, like Matt says, anytime late with a lead, you got to get Schwarber out of the game. I mean, he is that bad at first base.
Okay, we continue. We've got a final segment with Greg Bedard. You want to jump aboard? You can. Last chance to get a little Patriots thought at his kisser, 617-779-0985. That was smooth, Felger. Stick around.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger.
What's the recipe for surprising the kids, treating yourself, and ditching dish duty? Ordering your Pizza Hut faves like Original Pan, Original Stuffed Crust, and more. Order now at PizzaHut.com. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Prices and participation may vary.
Felger and Mass.
I'm just going to ramble and rant for 15 minutes if you let me. I'm not joking.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
On an 0-1 pitch, Hernandez. Lifts one to left center field. Take the title, the new Mr. October. 9 hits and the sacrifice fly that sends the Boston Red Sox to the American League Championship Series.
That's how it ended last night at Fenway. Final thoughts here with the big boy on both Red Sox and Patriots. Give me a quick Red Sox thought going forward. We got the Astros up 5-1. Now in the top of the six, it's looking like Astros. How do you feel about that? You know what? You know, one thing I find fascinating, we talk about Cora, and, you know, you're a big Cora guy, Greg, and he's got his finger on the pulse and, you know, feels like he pushes all the right buttons. You know, whoever you get here, and again, it looks like it's the Astros. It's Dusty Baker or Tony La Russa.
Right.
One guy, I mean, talk about older than rope. Baker's 72 and feels like a spring chicken next to La Russa, who feels like...
77, I think.
He's 77 and feels like 87, just the way he walks out there. You're like, boy, he feels like an old man.
And how he was treating those guys early on. Remember, that thing was almost a disaster, like how he was, you know...
They call it his own guy for throwing at somebody or something. I can't remember.
I think pimping a home run or something like that.
Yeah. But, you know, but either way, Greg, that Astros matchup certainly has juice.
Oh, again, the drama with that is incredible. With what happened, you know, with them and with Cora being connected to it and him being out of the game and them being, as a team, basically tarred and feathered around the league. The storylines are unbelievable. I mean, to me, the thing that stands out about this possible series is just, and you mentioned it about Dusty Baker. I think Alex Cora is now sort of Bill Belichick-esque in that he gives you an advantage. I think you have a distinct advantage in the next round over Dusty. I love Dusty Baker, but Alex is better. And, you know, he's younger. And look, Alex has managed three seasons. And they've probably overachieved in both of the two end ones. The middle one, and I went over this a few weeks ago, I think, you know, there were a lot of injury problems that year, wasn't it?
2019?
Yeah.
I think Cora had a bad year that year. That was the year he had this.
I think he did get a little full of himself.
Oh, my God. He said, we're not going to turn the page. Yep. Why would we turn the page? What we did last year worked. We'll just do it again.
He got cocky.
It was the most asinine approach I've almost ever seen a manager or a coach take. Mm-hmm. And as good as Cora is, you know, he deserves responsibility for 2019. Every coach worth their salt says last year doesn't matter. It's a new year. You have to reestablish yourself all over again. And Cora said just the opposite. Oh, it was unbelievable. So 19 was on him. He deserves part of the blame for 2019.
I think that's fair. But I think that the whole situation has humbled him. And when Alex Cora is in this zone where he's humble and he's just worrying about his guys and he's having their back, you know, that's when he's at his best. And I just think that he provides the Red Sox with a big advantage in the next round. And now we need to see whether, like Tony said, whether the pitching holds up or not over seven games.
So, see, he's got to be careful, though, because when he gets cocky is when he gets in trouble.
Yep, absolutely.
And I put more of it on him in 19 than I think you do.
Yeah.
I think he set the tone for that season. I think that was a big mistake. So Greg's right about being humbled by the whole suspension. Like, I think, but every once in a while you see it pop out of him. Because his instinct is to say, no, we're good. We're the man. Yeah, I'm the man.
Overconfidence is okay. It's when you get into that cockiness. They were straight up dicks in 2019. It's so easy to root against them.
Absolutely. I think Jim is totally right, and Maz is totally right about, you know, sometimes he ventures into the cockiness, and definitely in 19 he did. But I thought one of the underrated things about this past series was what he said after game one. Where not only you expected Alex Cora is always going to have his guys back and be like, oh, no, we're good, nothing wrong. But, you know, he pointed out, he's like, we hit a lot of balls hard in that game. And I was bored to tears in that game. They couldn't string anything together. Even I went back, you know, in reviewing the game, the Red Sox Twitter page, I went back and looked at their Twitter account during that game. They had a picture of Christian Vasquez before the first pitch. And then their next tweet was the final in the game. That just tells you how boring it was from a Red Sox perspective. But Cora hit the nail on the head, and this is an example of him knowing his team and where they're going, and he just knows it. He doesn't need a spreadsheet to know it. He said, we hit the ball hard, and then guess what? The next three games, they blew doors with the bats.
Okay, Mass, quickly, who owns the advantage of knowing who? And, you know, let's go right into the dirty tricks end of it, because the Astros are still being accused of dirty tricks, and who knows if you're on the up and up. Who knows in that sport, right? Does Cora have the advantage going into Houston, knowing what all those guys are up to? Or do all those guys in Houston have the advantage knowing what Cora is capable of and what he has his team doing?
I'd say Cora. Cora's been inside both operations. We had this discussion with Brady, and this is your point on Brady and Belichick, and I think there's some truth to it. So my initial feeling was Bill, but Cora's been inside both operations. Those Astros guys haven't. So I think it's Cora. But again, I don't know how much of a difference that's really going to make. Maybe it'll make a little bit of difference. He knows how to maybe get under some guy's skin and things like that. Houston's more talented. They're more talented.
Okay, we'll pick this up next hour as well. I want some Cowboys thoughts from Big Boy before he gets out of here. Patriots, Cowboys. This game has some juice.
Heck yeah, it does. And all of a sudden, I hope Jalen Mills comes back, because apparently he's Deion Sanders, because when Jalen Mills isn't out there, the Patriots get ripped apart by a rookie quarterback with David Culley as his coach. If there was a different coach on the other side, I mean, look, I like Mike McCarthy. I think he's good.
Personally, you mean?
Yeah. I do think, I watched quickly some of their plays, and I'll study them more later in the week, but they've run some nifty plays this year.
There was a little swing pass touchdown in this last game that was really kind of a cool design.
Yeah, and actually, Josh McDaniels had a really cool design in this game where they had Hunter Henry lined up as a fullback, Damian Harris behind him, and they faked. So they left the unblocked guy, Hunter Henry. Normally, as a fullback, you're going to hit the unblocked guy coming in. Bypassed him. Damian Harris blocked him, and they flipped him to Hunter Henry. Anyways, that just popped into my mind. But I think that Kellen Moore has done – he's offset Mike McCarthy. I think, you know, their offense in Green Bay got so stale. It got off to a poor start last year. But I think Kellen Moore and his inventiveness have really offset Mike McCarthy and – boosted him a little bit. I'm still not a believer in that defense and that scheme. And we'll see whether Josh McDaniels can work the same magic that he did with Tom Brady against this type of scheme with Mac Jones. They saw it once so far this season, and I forget. Oh, the Jets game. They did okay, but they need to be a lot better.
What about this Trevon Diggs, who apparently has like six interceptions?
Yep.
Like, you don't
stay away.
You think there no pass rush? Like, what about the defense do you not like?
About
Dallas's defense.
Yeah, I just don't like their scheme. I don't think they don't bring a whole lot of pressure. It's pretty much straight cover three. Stan Quinn is the defense coordinator. Micah Parsons is unbelievable. That's the guy that I wanted the Patriots to get if he had fallen in the draft. If he was there at 15, I would have been like, I'm taking Parsons. I'm getting either Mac Jones in the bottom of the first, or I'm taking Davis Mills. That's what I would have done. He's that good. And but the Patriots are going to need to score this game. You know, you talked about the offense, and are they scoring enough points? All right, I'm giving them a crutch. I'm saying that they should have scored more in this game if they weren't idiots on some plays. Well, there's no more woulda, coulda, shoulda. They're going to have to get to probably into the 30s to be competitive in this game.
I mean, Dallas has scored as many touchdowns as Tampa. So you're talking the best offenses in the league.
They have a mobile quarterback, which the Patriots have never been good against.
I'll just tell you, I don't know how anyone could fully buy what's going on in Dallas, just given that coach, their track record, what usually happens down there. And that's your one chance.
It's the quarterback.
It's a loose operation. What do you mean?
I mean, the reason why people are buying in is the quarterback.
Yeah. And well, no, I mean, the number seven there, what's his name again? The D-back has been incredible.
Trevon Diggs.
And Parsons is a freaking force. They have some flash. You know, they have the old
and
Dallas.
CeeDee Lamb is ridiculous, the wide receiver.
They have the whole Dallas Cowboy flashback. And, you know, Prescott for sure is like the leader of that and the on the marquee. But they've got a lot, you know, they've got the Dallas thing back, which is just when they blow up, because they're it's just too loose down there. It's just too loose from the coach to the owner and all of that. And that's your one chance. That's your one chance that they come up here and they've gotten ahead of themselves and they get stupid and you take advantage. Greg, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
Abbreviated schedule.
Greg. See you, big boy.
All right,
we got
an hour to go. We're going to reset some of our Red Sox thoughts, including a developing opinion I had today after hearing Kevin Cash, the Rays manager, in the postgame last night. There's a thing that's really crystallizing with me and the Rays and the nerds that have taken over baseball and all of this. I'll reset that after Murray's 90-second update here. No commercials.
In business, setbacks change everything. So get Comcast Business Internet, now with Security Edge. It helps protect every device that's connected, so you can be ready for what's next.
Restrictions apply. Security Edge requires Comcast Business Internet. Actual speeds vary.